Together in prayer. Father, we treasure this hour that we may come into your presence and meet with you. Father, we treasure the word that you allow us, your word that you allow us to have, to hold in our hands. Father, we treasure your gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we treasure the servants of yours whom you have sent among us to preach and teach and proclaim your word and the glory, majesty of our Lord Jesus. Father, we just want to open our hearts and our minds and our will and devotion to receive the preaching and teaching of your word. May our hearts, our life be so touched that we may turn to you and walk with you even more closely than before, even more faithfully and fruitfully than in times past. Father, we pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to introduce to you our speaker, Pastor Blessed. Pastor Blessed, actually, we have intended to invite him to come and speak to our congregation last summer. But the Lord did not allow the arrangement to go through, and we had to wait for a whole year, actually more than a whole year, 14 months. And we've been looking forward to Pastor Blessed speaking to us. Pastor Blessed comes from a godly Christian family in Nigeria. And Pastor Blessed came to Chicago, finished his training in Moody Bible Institute, and he is now the English pastor at True Light Lutheran Church in Streamwood. And very close to us, and we're very close, we're good friends, and we've been co-working with Pastor Blessed this past summer, a couple months ago in Arizona. And the young people just love to hear from him, but because young people are very busy on Friday, school obligations and everything, they could not make it. They cannot make it tomorrow night until 6:30, 7 o'clock either. But they'll be here tomorrow night to receive the word. And we'll make sure all the young people are here. So Pastor Blessed, come and speak to us what the Lord has for you to say and speak. Let me put a stand. You want to hold it? I can put it on the stand.
Amen. The Lord is good.
He is good.
And that's the way we say it in my church. When I say the Lord is good, you say all the time. And I say all the time, you say the Lord is good. Okay, the Lord is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
The Lord is good.
Amen. Let's do it one more time. The Lord is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
The Lord is good.
Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Give him a hand. And I believe the church is supposed to be the happiest people on earth. They are the most blessed people. If you are a child of God, you are blessed. It's a blessing to be a child of the Most High God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Ask your neighbor, do you really know who I am? Ask somebody by your side, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? You are a child of God. You are a prince. You are a princess of God. Amen? So you ought to be happy. You know, sometimes there are some churches, they just come, you know, you see the face and they kind of a little down, a little sad, you know. No, it's not supposed to be like that. David says, I am glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, you know. There are other people, they think that excites them. It's a Friday party. It's time to party, you know. They want to go do whatever. But David said, you know what get me excited? When it's time to go to the temple, when it's time to go to the house of the Lord, because I'm going to hear the word of the Lord, I'm going to have a wonderful relationship with God. Amen?
Amen.
I am glad to be here. Really want to give God all the thanks and praise and the opportunity to really be here. I want to thank Pastor Tam. He's a wonderful man of God. I was really challenged and blessed by him in Arizona when he was, you know, sharing the world, had a great and wonderful time with his kids. I can't see them. I hope I will see them tomorrow or next. Laura, Anna, Joe, you know, Ruth, and Somi. They're wonderful, wonderful. They really amazed me over there in Arizona. And Brother Ed is a wonderful brother. You know, thank God for your leadership skill and your passion for the Lord. Thank God for the seed, you know, all of us, you know, planted in Arizona. Thank God that they are bearing fruit. And I believe those of you who were here who supported in prayer, sending your money, you are also part of it. And I believe all of us will have our reward in heaven. But I will encourage you to make sure you get to heaven so that you receive your reward. Amen? Because if I don't see you there, I'm going to take your reward. All right. This evening, I will be talking about where is Jesus? That's going to be our theme this evening. Where is Jesus? And our text is going to be Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 49. Just let's read it together, you know, from the PowerPoint. Let's just read it together. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 49. Okay, brother, can I help us in PowerPoint? Okay, let's read together. 3, 2, 1, go. Shall we bow in prayer? Father, we want to thank you for this time, Lord. Your word has gone forth. We pray, Lord God, that you will confirm your word. May your people hear you. May they not hear me, Lord. Because my word is irrelevant, but your word is powerful. Speak to us, Lord God. Challenge us through your word and encourage us through your word to the glory and praise of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, on July 28, 1969, you know, U.S. time, Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. If you can, you know, show the picture on the PowerPoint. And he stayed there 2 hours, 31 minutes. That's the total of time he stayed on the moon. 2 hours, 31 minutes. And just don't go faster. Just follow my terms. It's okay. It's okay. You can go to the next one. It's okay. All right. Just hold it there. So the launch took place at the Kennedy Space Center launch complex in Florida. It was launched on 16 July 1969, and it landed on the moon on 20th of July 1969. And definitely it was a great day in the history of mankind when man first walked on the moon. Everybody rejoiced, everybody celebrated that a great feat has been accomplished by mankind, that man was able to you know, go into space. It was unbelievable. Everybody was celebrating and jubilating. There was a feat, you know, in the scientific world. But the Bible declares that a far greater event took place about 2,000 years ago. That on that time, God walked on earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Isn't that amazing? That the Almighty God, the Almighty Creator who made you and I, walked on earth. But unlike Armstrong, who stayed just 2 hours and 31 seconds on the moon, Jesus spent 33 years here on earth. He spent 33 years here on earth. If you go to the next picture, you'll see the picture of Jesus walking around the seashore, mingling with people. He didn't just rush, just like Armstrong, who stayed there 2 hours, 31 seconds, and rushed back. Jesus came here. He moved around us. He had dinner with us. He went to wedding ceremony, even performed miracles. He spent 33 years here and earth with us. God Almighty, in the person of Jesus Christ, walked here on earth. And that's why the Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. John 1, 10 to 11 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." And John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So God walked among us, mingled with us, ate with us. How many of you have a diamond ring here? If you have a diamond ring, let me see. Okay, if you have your wedding ring, let me see it. If you're married, if you have a wedding ring. Okay. Please be honest with me. How many of you have ever lost your wedding ring before? Be honest. You lost? Okay. How did you feel when you lost it? Did you feel good? Don't feel good. Any woman here lost her wedding ring or engagement ring? No one. Oh. Nobody loves to lose something that is precious to them, because jewelries, especially diamonds, they are very expensive. They are precious. And when you receive something that is precious, you do what? You hide them somewhere that is well secured. You don't want to mess with them. I know, Pastor Tam, there are things that are precious to you. You will hide it in a place where Joe will never see it. Ruth, and things that are really, really precious. You hide it somewhere. That's how it is with us. Nobody will be happy when you lose your wedding ring. No woman will be happy when you lose your wedding ring. Unless a woman who doesn't love her husband. And if a woman doesn't love her husband, if she loses the ring, there was this story. There was a woman who was having dinner with her friends, in the evening. And as they were having dinner, one of her friends realized that she was wearing her wedding ring, on the wrong finger. And she said, "Why are you wearing your wedding ring on the wrong finger?" She said, "Well, because I married the wrong husband." I wanna encourage you to make sure that you're wearing your wedding ring, on the right finger. Amen. Make sure you wear it on the right finger. But anyway, that's just a humor, But when you have something that is precious, something that is very expensive, something that costs you money, or a precious gift someone gives you, you make sure you hide it somewhere where it will be well protected. God gave humanity the greatest gift of all time in the person of Jesus Christ. The most precious gift anyone could ever ask for. God in the person of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus arrived on earth, Mary was honored and privileged to be the custodian of Jesus Christ. She was given the privilege to protect, to nurture, to bring up Jesus Christ, the precious gift. And this will be a dream come true for any woman, to have the Savior of the world, God incarnate, the Almighty, to have him in your house all the time, to have him at your dinner table all the time, to have him in your family all the time. He is God himself. If there's any problem, he will just speak the word and it will be solved. You don't need to worry. If anybody tries to mess with you, say, "Hey, Jesus, take care of them." Remember how he, spanked people in the temple when they turned it into business. If there's no wine, say, "Son, no wine." He said, "Put water." He said, "No food, no money." He said, "Just go catch a fish. Open the mouth." Imagine the blessing. Imagine the honor Imagine the benefit of having Jesus, the God incarnate, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Imagine the benefit of having him in your house all the time. Looking at his face. Hugging him anytime you want. Playing around with the Almighty, Jesus Christ. Mary was an excellent mother. She was a submissive wife. She was a model of a woman, a model of a godly woman. When she received Jesus, she was doing awesomely well. She received him in the manger. She took her, took him home. And she made sure he was properly taken care of. Mary started well. He took care of Jesus, did all she's supposed to do. She took care of him the first year. She took care of him the second year, the third year, the fourth year, the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, and 11th year. But on the 12th year, Mary made a big mistake. On the 12th year, Mary got distracted. On the 12th year, Mary forgot about what she had. Mary abandoned Jesus. Mary abandoned Jesus. The place we read says from verse 41 to 44. It says, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Mary left Jesus, unaware of it. Mary left Jesus, unaware of it. How can you, Mary? You have the most precious gift in the world, and you got distracted, and you left without being aware of it. Mary, what's going on? The Bible tells us that Mary worked for a whole day. Mary, how can you work for 24 hours without realizing that you're not working with Jesus? What's going on here? Mary, where is Jesus? Brother, where is Jesus? Sister, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus you have been working with? Mary thought she was working with Jesus, not realizing she wasn't. You know, sometimes we think we are working with him. I come to church, I pray, I give money, I'm working with him. Are you really sure? Mary thought she was working with Jesus, not realizing that she wasn't working with Jesus. After 24 hours, Mary now realized that she was not working with Jesus as she had supposed. Then she made another mistake. She thought that Jesus was lost. She thought that Jesus had left her. And now she realized that her life would be full of misery when Jesus was no longer with her. She came to her senses that Jesus was no longer with her. Now she made another mistake. She began to look for Jesus in the wrong places. She started searching for Jesus at the wrong places. She was searching among her friends and relatives, but she couldn't find him there. But after searching for 3 days at the wrong places, she finally found Jesus in the temple, in the house of the Lord. Then when she found Jesus, she began to blame him for abandoning her. Look at what she said from verse 45 to 48. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Now, listen in verse 48. Listen to Mary blaming Jesus. In verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." You know, Mary thought Jesus was actually lost. That's why she was searching for him. What an irony. Jesus is God. How many miles does it take from heaven to this place? Without no airline, no United Airlines, British Airways, or whatever, you know, he was able to come here without human compass or whatever. He was able to trace his way and came here safely. He knew where he was coming. He knew he wasn't going to Russia or America or China. He knew he was going to, you know, Bethlehem. He knew the place. He is the creator of the world. He made the world. He designed it. So, and you are here thinking that he was lost? What an irony, Mary, thinking that Jesus was lost. Jesus knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly what he was doing. The problem was never with Jesus. The problem was with Mary. If you look at that verse, you realize that Jesus never moved. It was Mary that moved. Jesus never left the temple. It was Mary that left the temple. Amen. Amen. So the problem was never with Jesus. The problem was with Mary. She was the one that moved. You know, that's what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." So he was saying to Mary, "Why are you looking for me? Why are you looking for me in the wrong places? Why are you looking for, you know, life solutions and happiness in the wrong places? Why?" You know, today some people are looking for solutions, looking for happiness, you know, from different sources, from psychics and spirit mediums, fortune tellers. Sometimes it surprises me to see the crowd on television paying so much money to go and listen to psychics who will be telling them lies and fables that doesn't make any sense. And yet they go there and feel happy that they're telling them this nonsense. They are looking for solutions. They're looking for answers. Somebody tell you that your grandparents who have passed away 10 years ago, oh, they're happy. They're happy, this and that and whatever. And you pay them money and just believe the lie. It amazes me how the devil, you know, deceives people. So we look for happiness or solutions in several places, you know. Some of us look for fulfillment or satisfaction in our jobs, you know, in our career, business, wealth, money. Others in relationship. People are just searching for some sort of fulfillment. But Jesus tells us that full satisfaction and fulfillment can only be found in him. And Mary will never find peace and satisfaction until she finds Jesus, the Savior. She can never be fulfilled until she reconnects with Emmanuel, God with us, God among us. Amen? Amen? Some people look for satisfaction from their co-workers, from friends. You know, that's why they go out and do so many, many things. And in the end, we come back like empty. Full satisfaction can only be found in Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Let me tell you something. Even though the church may not be perfect, that is the place you will find your solutions. That is the place you will find hope. That is the place you will find faith. That is the place you will meet Jesus. Amen? Sometimes they may not be perfect, but that is the place of solution. That is the place of hope. That's how God has designed it. And Mary was busy looking for happiness and solution and fulfillment in other places among her relatives, looking for Jesus. She couldn't find it all those places. She found it in the temple. She found the Savior in the temple, in the house of the Lord. That is why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, 28, 30, says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus was basically saying that following or serving him is much easier than following the devil. And if you think following Jesus is hard, maybe try the devil. Those who are in court and all these things, if they tell you what they go through, you wouldn't believe it. No peace of mind. No peace of mind. You know, sometimes we all feel, think, and behave like Mary, don't we? Sometimes we think like Mary, we behave like Mary. We think that Jesus has failed us. Because when Mary couldn't find Jesus, she began to blame him. She thought, oh, you have left me. Look at what she asked Jesus. Say, how can you do this to us? Son, we have been looking for you. How can you do this to us? She began to blame Jesus. You have abandoned me. I have loved you. I have followed you for 11 years. And now you've left me. You've left us. You've abandoned us. We've been praying. We've been fasting. I've been asking, oh, I want this burden to be rolled away. Because of this sickness, I've been praying. Pastor have prayed. The church have prayed. Jesus, you seem not to answer. Where are you, Jesus? You've abandoned me. Where are you, Jesus? We ask ourselves. Where is God? Maybe some people ask you. You go to church, you do all these things, but you're having this problem. Where is your God? Has anyone asked you such question before? They ask you, what is your God? Because you are worshiping God, you are following him, and yet you have this crisis in your life. You have this challenge in your life. But I will tell the person, show me any great man of God in the Bible that had it easy. Is it Abraham? He almost lost his life. He was forced to lie. He said that his wife was no longer his wife. You know, she was his sister. Is it Moses? At a point, he said, God, take my life. Is it Elijah after performing miracle? He was running away from Jezebel. Is it Joseph? I mean, who? Had it all easy. So sometimes we feel like Mary. We feel that God has abandoned us. We feel that Jesus has left us. We say, where are you, Jesus? Where are you, God Almighty? We feel forsaken. We feel we've been ignored. But in actuality, God is still where he is. Amen. Amen. God is still in his temple. Jesus is still in his temple. He hasn't gone nowhere. And he's going nowhere. Sometimes it's we that, you know, usually abandon him. So the question supposed to be, where have you left Jesus, brother? Where have you left Jesus, sister? Dad, mom, where have you left Jesus? You may think he has abandoned you. No, he doesn't. He wouldn't. It's we that abandons. Some of us might have abandoned him at different junctions and different areas of our lives. For some, it could be at a place and time of prayer. You know, he loves to hear our prayer. We commune with him, but when he's waiting, he's not hearing. We've abandoned him in a place of prayer. Some, we have abandoned him in Bible study. We don't come and spend time with brethren hearing the word of God, listening to the word of Jesus from the people who were leading us. Some, it could be, you know, attending small group fellowships and even sometimes Sunday service. We have abandoned him in those areas. Some Christians are willing to skip Sunday service to go watch or play their favorite sports. I know some believers on Sunday, they go play golf. They go play basketball. They don't come to church. Jesus is in the temple. Jesus is in the house of the Lord waiting for them. And they are playing basketball and they are playing golf. And yet they are believers. So the challenge for you, brothers and sisters, this evening is to think and say, Lord, show me. Open my eyes to realize where I have abandoned you, where I have left you. Because Mary left Jesus without knowing it for a whole day, for 24 hours, without knowing it. For others, we abandon Christ when we fail to develop and use the gifts, talents, and abilities God has given us to serve in the body of Christ. When we fail to develop those gifts and use it to serve in the body of Christ, we have abandoned Jesus. For some, we abandon Jesus when we fail to witness and evangelize our unbelieving friends and neighbors. If we don't do that, we've abandoned Jesus. The good news you've received Jesus wants you to witness to others. He said, be my witnesses from Judea, Jerusalem, and unto the uttermost part of the world. So when we're not doing that, we have abandoned Jesus. For some, it could be in giving good offering to support the spread of the gospel. Maybe God has blessed you. God had made you smart and given you the opportunity to come here and study and get a job. And you get money. He wants you to spend money in the church, give to support the work of God. Give to those who are struggling so that the work of God will continue. But when we have and we hold it and we're not giving, we've abandoned Jesus in that area. For some, it could be in living a holy and righteous life unto the Lord. For some, it could be defiling our bodies through sexual impurities or other forms of sins. And as married people, when we do not keep and uphold our marital vows to our spouses, we have left Jesus. That's not what God wants for us. So therefore, the question should not be, where is Jesus? But rather, the question should be, where are you? What am I? That's why I ask myself, Lord, where am I? Because God is still where he is. You know, sometimes when you are traveling in the night, I don't know if you have experienced it, if you're, you know, traveling in the night and you see the moon. In those days, as you're driving, you think the moon is moving along with you. It's your guy, the moon is following me. No, it's not following you. The moon is where, it's still there. God is where he is. It's us that moves all the time. So I'm going to ask you this evening, are we still walking with Jesus or have we abandoned him because of the distractions of this world, like Mary? You know, this calls for us to re-examine our walk and relationship with Jesus. I believe that's what we should do as you celebrate your anniversary, to just take a stock of your walk. You know, at the end of the year, whatever people, they take a stock, the company take a stock, you know, do inventory. How have we done? They'll be able to say, okay, we're doing well in this area. We're not doing this well in this area. We're going to improve. So as a believer, it's good. Sometimes you look back and say, how has my spiritual life been? From January to now, how have I been serving the Lord? How have I been using the gift and the resources he's given me to invest in his kingdom? Am I really following? Am I really walking with him? Or have I abandoned him? Getting in closing here, I'll just encourage you that if you have abandon him knowingly or unknowingly, I have a message for you tonight. Jesus says, come back home. Jesus says, come back home. He's still in his temple. He has got nowhere. He said, if you've gone astray, if you've been distracted like Mary, just come back home. Just like Mary came back, come back home. He's waiting for you. Stop looking for bread and honey in the wrong places. Jesus is saying, bread, sweet and honey, fulfillment belongs to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This means without him, there is no going. And without him, there is no knowing. And without him, there is no life. How many of you know about Bob Marley? Bob Marley is a famous reggae star from Jamaica. How many of you have heard about him or know about him? Okay. There was a special song, one of his renditions that go like this. It says, can you put it on the PowerPoint? It says, no woman, no cry. It's a secular, no woman, no cry. No, go back. No woman, no cry, yeah. Okay, it says, leave it there. So, no woman, no cry. It says like this, no, I'm not a reggae singer, but just in a little bit. It says, no woman, no cry. No woman, no cry. You know, but I kind of change it. to a Christian, use it to give a message. I sing it this way. No, Jesus, no life. No, Jesus, no life. You know, you don't know the other part, but, you know, just that one. So he's saying that no Jesus, no life. But no Jesus, then you know life. Amen? In him there is fullness of life. In him there is solution. In him there is peace. He walked among us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Anyone who doesn't have Jesus, in fact, if you don't have Christ, you are in crisis. That's the reality. If you don't have Christ, you are in crisis. That's just life. But if you have him, there is peace. You might have challenges. The devil may punch you here and there, but in the end, you will still stand. Amen? Because the Lord is with us, Emmanuel. He has come to be with us. So that's what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10b. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Now, maybe you used to be very committed and devoted in church, in your work with God. But because of problems and challenges in your life, in family, concerns, and other things, your passion and your commitment to the Lord has diminished. The Lord is saying, come back home. Just make a U-turn where you are and come back home. Maybe you have been struggling with a secret sin that if it is made public here, you will be embarrassed. Or you don't like it, maybe you're trying to get out of it, but it's kind of holding bondage. God knows about it. He's saying, regardless of that sin, come back home. Bring it to me. I have already forgiven you. Just bring it to me. I'll take care of it. Maybe like Mary, you feel abandoned, you feel forsaken and forgotten by the Lord. Probably because of what you're going through right now. You feel you've been abandoned. You feel Jesus has left you. Jesus says, no. In Hebrews 13:5, he said, no, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hebrews 13:5, that's what it says. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's his promise. And mind you, Jesus says what he means. And he means what he says. When he says, I will never leave you, he will never leave you. When I say it, don't listen to me. This man will disappoint you. But if Jesus says it, if Jesus says he loves you, he loves you. He's ready to stay on the cross and die because he loves you. When Jesus says he will not abandon you, he will not abandon you. He is there for you and for me all the time. Let me close with this story, and I believe most of you have heard this story. It's a fictional story. There was a young boy, you know, who was an orphan. I think from the story, his parents also were killed. And a little boy, very little boy, he found himself lonely by the seashore. No food, no water, no nothing. The parents had gone. As he was walking, then all of a sudden God appeared and God began to walk with him. And God promised him that he will always be with him. And as they were walking, he was seeing two footprints, you know, his own footprint and God's footprint. So he was seeing two. So he was happy that God, you know, was walking with him. Then after a while, the boy got tired and exhausted and fainted. He fainted. He passed out because he was tired and couldn't walk anymore. Then God carried him, you know, on his shoulder. When the boy woke up, he looked, he could only see one footprint. And he thought it was his footprint. So he thought God has abandoned him. He said, excuse me, God, didn't you promise that you would never leave me? Didn't you promise that you would always walk with me? Why is it that you left me and it's only me walking by myself? It's only my footprint that I could see, only one footprint. And God told him, no, son. And as we were walking, you got tired. You couldn't walk anymore. You fainted. And I carried you on my shoulder. So the footprint you're seeing is not your footprint. It's my footprint. All the while you've been on my shoulder. As I promised, I never abandoned you. And I will never abandon you. How about you, brothers and sisters? Has there been a time you failed? God has abandoned you? Has there been times when you look around, you feel he's no longer around? You cry, you pray, you feel, oh, he's kind of far from you. But I want to encourage you this evening that in the moment, in the time when you are tempted to feel that God has abandoned you, and you begin to ask the question, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Where is God? Always remember that he has promised not to abandon you. He has promised not to forsake us. It is we that usually leave him. It is we that abandon him. Therefore, I will encourage you as we celebrate this anniversary. I will encourage you to take time and examine your life, to re-examine your life. How has your walk with Jesus been? Are you still walking close to him? Do you still trust on his promises? Sometimes, even though he may seem far away because of the things we're going through, I want you to be assured by the word of God that he is even closer than you may even realize. He is where he is. He hasn't gone nowhere. Even though you don't see his footprints sometimes, even though you don't feel his presence sometimes, it doesn't mean that he has gone away. He is still with you. Amen. He is still with you. One thing is sure, he has not and will not abandon you. At the appointed time, he will show up and he will answer our prayers. We are not the first person. I think about David in the Bible. God made a promise to him. He suffered so much. He thought God had left him. He thought God had abandoned him. At the point he told Jonathan, look, I am just, you know, one step from death. Your dad is going to kill me. But he didn't know that in God's plan, he's going to be, you know, ruled for 40 years as the king of Israel. No matter what happens. Even though he was sleeping in desert. It happened to Joseph. God gave him a vision, a dream. I'm going to make you a leader. Your future is wonderful. But the things that followed his life later was horrible. He went to pit. From pit, you know, he lost the rope the dad made for him. He lost the, you know, brothers, you know, companionship. He got into slavery. From slavery, he got into prison. You see how he was, you know, downward slope, going down. So in human calculation, you will be saying that the next thing will be from prison to grave. From prison to obituary. But in God's own plan, God had a different plan. Amen? Those periods, Joseph had concluded that God had left him. God had abandoned him. Oh, that dream was a false dream. But he didn't know that God had a plan. And by the time God finished with Joseph, Joseph went from prison to presidency. Amen. Amen. He went from prison to presidency. Without any election. Without military coup. No Republican Party. No Democratic Party. No fundraising. In a foreign land. He wasn't even a citizen. He was a slave. That's what God does. He marched from prison to presidency because the Lord is with him. So sometimes when you feel like Mary that you've been abandoned, when you feel like Joseph that you've been abandoned, know that God is in charge, he's in control. In the end, we must begin to examine and ask yourself, where have I left Jesus? Say, Lord, reveal to me where I have left you. Is it in the area of prayer? Is it in going deep into the word of God? Some are more comfortable watching movies and playing games than studying the word of God. When it's watching a movie or spending time with people, we're excited. But when it comes to read the Bible, oh, we get tired. We fall asleep. Some can be awake and watch any kind of movie, but when it's time to for the word of God to come, you see sleep begins to come. That's the devil trying to distract us. Just like he distracted Mary. So ask the Lord to reveal to you where you have left him, where you have abandoned him. And ask him to help you to trace him back, just like he helped Mary to trace Jesus back into the temple. Tell him that you want to be with him. You want to be where he is. You want to say like David, I am glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, in this economic hardship, many of us may feel ignored, rejected, and abandoned by you. Some might be going through some tough situations that may cause them to ask the question, where is Jesus? Where is God? Father, may you help us to realize that you have not abandoned us. Lord, I pray that you will meet us, O Lord God, at the point of our knees. Lord, provide for your people. Sustain them. Sustain their jobs, O Lord, and those who are sick. I pray you'll touch them, O Lord God, with your divine healing.
Father, I pray for reconciliation between parents and their children, O Lord. Reconciliation between husband and wives, O Lord. Between children and their parents, O Lord God. Oh, among co-workers. I pray that you will bring peace to the life of your people. Lord, and I pray that, O Lord, those who have wandered away from you, even without knowing it, I pray that you will open their eyes, that they will realize that they have been walking alone, O Lord God. And may you bring them back, Lord God Almighty, that they'll begin to be where you want them to be. Meet you, Lord God, where you want them to meet you. Father, we pray that you encourage and comfort those who are discouraged and assure them of your ever-abiding presence and love. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this church. Thank you for those who are not here today. Pray that you bring them, Lord, that tomorrow we continue to hear your word, Lord God. Continue to walk close with you. For you are the greatest gift, Lord, to humanity. You walked here on earth, Lord God. You walked here on earth, even though we take it for granted. It's a huge gift, Lord. Help us not to take it for granted. You are Emmanuel, God with us, God among us. You walked here on planet earth because of your love for us. You became man and went through, Lord God, all the sufferings we went through because you loved us. Lift up your church before you. Lord Jesus, you said you will build your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. May you build your church. May you empower your church. Strengthen them that they be dynamic people, people of power, people of the kingdom, reflecting your glory and your honor. Thank you, Father, for hearing. We pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you for that message, Pastor Blessed. Let's rise and respond.